and at 4:45 on a Wednesday afternoon, and you hear Dolly Parton coming on, you know it's time to check in with James B. Huntington for Work Shift Live. James, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, Jason, and good afternoon, listeners.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make.
Well, we missed you last week. James, we had those hearings from the Supreme Court, so we didn't get you on last week, so it's been a while. Have we gotten any new numbers about where the economy stands and jobs stand since we last talked to you 2 weeks ago?
Yes. Well, we have the same old sort of number, 898,000 jobless claims, much the same. They're hawking that as a sign the recovery could be stalling, but really it's just showing churn. It's a lot of people are losing jobs, and a lot of people are getting jobs because jobs are not, but jobs are increasing. They're not decreasing still.
And are you following any of the blow-by-blow of where the heck we are with this stimulus package at this point? Any thoughts on that that you have?
Well, it looks now like it's going to be on hold until after the election, and who knows what's going to happen. We don't know for sure who's going to win. We don't know how contested it will be. We don't know how long. It could easily be a month. We have one set of numbers is to realize that 41 states have already used up the August 8th benefits. They were paying an extra $300 or $400 a month to people, and now they don't have it at all. In our area, that includes New York and Pennsylvania, although New Jersey has approved the thing, but it is not has not paid anything yet. So nobody in our area is getting extra unemployment benefits, and that's too bad because the money would circulate and it would help the economy as well as helping people, some of whom desperately need it.
And now the states have, as you're saying there, have run out of money for unemployment benefits as well as the money that ran out at the federal level?
Yes, they have their local, they have their state unemployment that they've always paid. This is the extra amount that nobody's getting. So people are getting amounts that vary nationwide from under $200 a month, I believe, for Mississippi and such, to $550 a week. I mean, these are weeks, rather, in New Jersey and some other places. So it varies.
So
they still have unemployment, but they don't have the special extra amounts for the pandemic.
What I didn't understand, and that was is a leveling sort of thing, that because then if it you get that extra money from the federal government, then that means people in different states are getting more rather than the different amounts in different states. Okay, how about jobs in the states? How are the jobs looking? I mean, we're talking about the jobless claims, but are there new types of jobs, or what are people being hired to do?
This is interesting. I saw an article explaining the fastest growing jobs in every state this year. It came out actually in Fox Business yesterday, and there are areas which there is a lot of demand for. There always is, no matter what, but it was interesting to see the diversity of the jobs state by state which were tacking on the most workers. Like New York, the number of financial examiners working is up 178% this year. In New Jersey, it's highway maintenance workers up 168%. And Pennsylvania, it's post-secondary health specialties teachers, an area of teachers, people who are teaching things at the college level, up 148%. Around the country, it varies wildly by state. We've got interpreters and translators in one place, statisticians in another. We've got manual grinding and polishing workers in one more. So it depends really on where you are, but it's not a complete bust for everybody anyway in this jobs market. So there are a wide range of things. There's really no trend I can see among this listing of 50 states and they're jobs that have been fastest growing this year. So, yes, there are certainly possibilities. So don't assume that if you're out of work, you won't have a possibility of getting another one, because for many people, there's a lot of demand.
And what's at the top of the list in New York and Pennsylvania? Anything notable?
Yes, well, the top of the list we had, yes, what was it? It was New York as Financial Examiners, and Pennsylvania it was these college health specialty teachers.
Right. And, you know, we did speak with the lieutenant governor of New York, who was touting the emphasis that the Cuomo administration is placing on job retraining, meaning they're starting to look at the economy in the state and saying, you know what, there's lots of people that have lost work in industries that aren't going to completely recover. We got to start helping them learn to do other things.
Oh, yes, of course. That has been a big thing all the way through. That's quite valuable for people who are stuck in fields which are not exactly at the top of the list in states. The problem we have is that we don't know how long really we're going to be in this coronavirus situation, and it may well be a year from now we're rebuilding and going back to normal, maybe fairly quickly in many ways. So we don't know exactly who that's going to help or hurt, but it is favorable.
Now, we're heading into this election. It's less than 2 weeks away. You got two sides telling essentially two different stories about the economy. One saying that, you know, this economy is in trouble due to the pandemic, and the other side saying essentially this economy is rebounding like it's done at no other time from the pandemic.
Well, both are true in a way. It is coming back. The jobs numbers are favorable. The last 2 months, we have gained substantial numbers, millions of jobs, and the pandemic has improved. I think that is going to come to a screeching halt with the data that's coming out now, because pandemic cases are up significantly and continuing to climb in the United States, whereas jobs are, we don't know about jobs, they're getting better. We have, in the maps of what's happening with the pandemic, we have some horrible, angry, bright red areas, especially around Wisconsin and to the west of there, where the rates are extremely high for new cases.
Which, you know, is pushing up the numbers nationally, too. I mean, this is happening. It's worse in some states than others, but it's getting worse in multiple states. And that's pushing up the numbers nationally. So is this, what does this mean for are we in that second or third wave?
It's hard to tell. People are talking about different wave numbers, but there's so much regional variation around the country and, in fact, around the world. It's our area of the country, the whole Northeast, New York and New England, has been doing well, very well. And you can tell that because we've had patients and we've continued to wear masks and practice social distancing. And a lot of other people have been subject to what's been called coronavirus fatigue, where they get tired of all this stuff and say, the heck with it, I'm not going to wear a mask, I'm going to go to bars, I'm going to drink too much and get too close to too many other people. And guess what? Before we know it, we have infection rates that are 10, 50, 100 times as high as other areas of the country, and that's what's happening in Wisconsin right now.
And the word that we got late last week, or maybe it was even on the weekend, is the governor re-emphasizing, Governor Cuomo, the really targeted response to these hot spots, saying that we're going to get it down to even smaller than neighborhoods, and this will help us keep it from having to shut down the entire regions, which was the original plan. It was broken up by region. And following that, they're talking about reopening movie theaters. Are people going to be going back to the theaters? Are people returning to work in office spaces? Are people going back to work in the Northeast?
Well, the movie theaters are okay if they go with a 25% or some such occupancy, and some people will do that, and fair enough. But as far as returning to the office, we've had a whole string of companies announcing that they will continue to have their workers be remote through about July. We've had Facebook and Twitter and Coinbase and Microsoft and Shopify, and this morning we got the announcements from Amazon, these same companies that were building yoga studios and sushi bars in their workplaces to try to get people to show up in the office, that when they decided that remote work was really not worth it, they have had to put all of this on hold and really do an about face and say, well, we know there are lots of problems with working remotely, but there's no real choice as far as the safety of our workers and ultimately being able to continue doing our business. So it's not their first choice. This is not a top of the line product, so to speak, having everyone work remotely, but it beats the alternative.
Yep. It's just bad news for Silicon Valley sushi chefs. Yep.
Yes. One thing that is important to realize, this is about the presidential election, that we don't have, we're not assured that polls and such are accuracy, so if you use Watergate logic and follow the money, you'll find the best projections for who is going to win the election are on offshore sports books, which allow betting. One prime example is sportsbook.ag, where you can put down real money on who you think is going to be president. They maintain the odds there. They change them a lot. They remove them temporarily sometimes. But that is your very best source of accurately assessing who is likely to win.
And now, just to clarify, James, you're not advocating that the listener go there and place money on anything. You're just saying this is a website.
No, I go to it all the time, and I've never placed a bet on it. It gives you the accurate, for example, the problem with polls is they don't tell you where the votes are. If the entire Los Angeles area switched over to Biden, it would not help him in the least because California is essentially a lock to vote for him anyway.
Right.
But if you look at sportsbook.ag, you'll see the odds as of half an hour ago were 67-40 in favor of Biden. And if you think that's wrong, you can put your money where your mouth is.
But we're not encouraging you to, but it's possible because people are, and that's where those numbers are coming from.
It cannot be biased. These things cannot be biased because they run the risk of being overrun if they were to say that Biden is, say, a 5-1 favorite, as I'm seeing in some of the other publications. Right. They would get bombarded with bets on Trump at good odds, and if Trump won, they would lose a fortune. So it has to be accurate. So it's you figure out where the money is going, and that's often where the real information is.
All right, well, sportsbook.ag, you heard it. That's where the smart money's at. And thank you for giving us that insight to jobs, the economy, and the election in an interesting way. James B. Huntington, Work Shift Live. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, listeners. Use your mind.
And again, if you enjoyed conversations that we have here with James B. Huntington, do tune in this time next week. We'll have him on again live next week. It's a great live segment. And if you really like it and you talk about putting your money where your mouth is or where your ears are, we're looking for support right now at WJFFradio.org. This is our fall fun drive. WJFFradio.org is where you can go to make your contribution.